Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The game, I think the team did respond. I think they played hard and, you know, maybe it's too late. Maybe that's irrelevant to people, and I'm willing to accept that's the way you feel. But I thought that their efforts the last couple of weeks showed a team that hasn't given up and is fighting for their coaching staff, but might be a moot point.
Yeah, I don't.
You don't care.
No, I mean, it's yeah. Look, does he still have a chance? You'd have to win out. And is it possible? It's possible. They've got games against Minnesota, who just got hammered by Iowa. Raise your hand if you saw Iowa scoring 41 points in a single game.
You had your hand raised.
I'm just asking people if you... No, I did not. I did not see Iowa scoring 41 points in a single game.
I think the over-under for points for Iowa the rest of the season was 43.5.
And they just hammered Minnesota. I think it was 41 to 7.
I got that pick wrong.
Well, I was kind of with you as well. And saw what happened there.
My 9.5 points were cute.
So what do we have left? We got Minnesota. There is Penn State, who is just reeling right now. There's Maryland and one other game, I guess, in there. I can't think what it is. But that's what they have. There's a chance to win. I don't know if it saves his job if they win out, unless, I don't know, it'd have to be kind of impressive to do that. Iowa's the other game. They play at Iowa. Well, like I said, the aforementioned 41-7 against Minnesota.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. But
it was probably their best game of the year last year, wasn't it? Iowa?
Probably.
Yeah. One of the players we mentioned last hour has been traded. NFL trade.
Really?
Adam Schefter. The Titans are sending cornerback Roger McCreary to the Rams for a conditional 5th-6th round pick swap, per sources. The Titans get the 5th round pick closer to the beginning of the round, which is most likely the Titans' original 5th round pick. The Rams receive the 6th round pick that is closest to the end of the round. The Titans currently have 3 6th round picks. So the Titans are getting a 5th round pick, and the Rams are getting a 6th round pick, and Roger McCreary.
So McCreary's a free agent at the end of the year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Would I have given up a Lions 5th round pick for Roger McCreary and a 6th? I might, yeah. They have bigger plans.
33 tackles this year.
They probably don't have bigger plans.
One interception.
The pass is any indicator. Now, let's not be clear. Last year, they didn't stand pat at the trade deadline. They did go get Za'Darius Smith, and he was helpful down the stretch. So, anyway, we mentioned it, so we thought we'd follow up on it. 248-539-9797. Red Wings didn't get much of a chance to talk about them. They fought back for a 4-0 deficit to take down the Blues. DeBrinket finally scored a goal. But good comeback there.
Great comeback. Yeah, they just kept chipping away. Down 4-0, 4-1, 4-2, 4-3, and then things just started flying into the net. And Evanson had a couple of goals, and it was a nice win for a team that needed an attitude adjustment after getting down 4-0, and apparently that's exactly what they got. Tom McCullen must have made some hell of a speech. Nobody's really talking about it other than say, yeah, it you know, we need to get our priorities in order, and they did. Let's hope that they can limit losing streaks to 2 games the rest of the way. We'll all be thrilled if that's the case. But they've got tough games. They'll play again against St. Louis tomorrow night in St. Louis. A little bit of a road trip here. Going to be some tough games involved in this road trip, but it's been tough to start the season anyway. So see how good this team is. This team can score goals, which is fun, and Finney keeps getting in the score sheet. I think Dylan Larkin's been on the score sheet every game this year. Goaltending needs to tighten up, and the defense in front needs to tighten up.
248-539-9797. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. All right, so the Scoobal stuff has come up again. A story in New York last week, we played some cuts from a Mets podcast where these guys were celebrating that Scoobal was going to be on the market, and one of them went so far as to say, oh my God, Tarek Skubal's going to be a Met, which we found to be interesting. Then we had the Yankee possibility as a Newsweek reporter floated out the idea of the Yankees' young pitching prospect. His name escapes me right now. The young kid that pitched for them in the postseason with the tricky name.
Oh, Schlittler.
Yes, thank you. Schlittler, and then one of their top prospects in their organization is a possible asking price for Skubal, a hitter, power hitter. Now, a Mets writer talked about the pros and cons of making a run at Skubal. He wrote, a fair expectation is that a deal for Skubal could cost the Mets one of the best pitching prospects, Jonah Tong or Brandon Sproat, and one of their best hitting prospects, Jet Williams or Carson Bengi, along with another prospect and or a big league player. All of those guys from the Mets are top 50 prospects in baseball.
Well, not Sproat.
He's not? Sorry, I thought he was.
Bengi or Benj, whatever it is. Jet Williams.
Nolan McLean is the other one. My apologies. Yeah.
And Jonah Tong are all in the top 50.
So that doesn't mean the Tigers don't. They might like Sproat better than all of them. Who knows? But I would say a requirement would be a big league player and a good one. If you're going to get a good big league player and a couple of top prospects, and let me be clear here, go use the Skubal money in free agent market to get another really good player. If they're not, if Skubal isn't going to accept your money, find people that will. Could the Tigers come back next year and be as good or better? It's hard to imagine without Skubal, and it would depend on who the big league players you're getting from the Mets. But yeah, you have to be somebody useful.
You got to spend money. And I mean, obviously, if you're going to lose Skubal, you got to replace Skubal. Mm-hmm. And that means that money is probably spent on a free agent pitcher, which you're bidding against every other team out there. If you're trading Skubal to the Mets, you know, you these two pitchers you would get in this proposed trade. Jonah Tong pitched in five games last year for the Mets and was unimpressive in 18 and two-thirds innings with a 7.7 ERA and gave up the 3.12 batting average against. However, what is impressive with him, when you go and look at his minor league numbers, in Double-A last year, he made 20 starts at a 1.59 earned run average. It's 102 innings. In 102 innings, he struck out 162 batters. 113 total innings last year in the minors, 179 strikeouts. The batting average against is 148. There's a lot to like with Jonah Tong, even though he didn't pitch that great for the Mets last year. In the organization, he was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Now, is that a guy that's ready to take the next jump? He's only 22 years old, but I still would imagine if you're the Tigers and if you're going to trade Tarek Skubal, you would absolutely still have to go out and get a free agent signing.
You know, I want to give this disclaimer. We're not like stoked about having to trade Tarek Skubal, but if you make him your absolute best offer and he doesn't want it, I'm not opposed to rolling next year with Skubal, but I'm also going to make sure that I can't get a godfather offer for him this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect that they won't. I suspect the teams will hesitate because he is going into the final year of his contract and this $400 million number has been floated out there in a long-term contract, which I feel like is one hell of a commitment.
I got a problem with that $400 million offer, that number that's floated out there, because it came out of, I believe it was just some stupid podcast that he did, and it was one of the guys doing the podcast with Tarek Skubal said, how's $400 million sound? He's like, oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yep.
Like, that's a real offer. You know, I don't know how many teams are going to be willing to give a pitcher that's just south of 30 that kind of money.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about the annual on that. Is he going to get $50 million a year? He could. He could get $50 million a year. And if I'm the Tigers, I'd probably be willing to pay him $50 million a year. But on how many years?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get her, I know you hate this attitude, but Champ and Chump Vault's my champ of the weekend is Michigan State for understanding the assignment and losing to get their coach fired. My chump of the weekend is Michigan State for not firing Jonathan Smith. But there you go.
Look, I don't think Jonathan Smith's going to be coaching Michigan State next year. Does it matter when they fire him? If it's now, if it's Sunday, if it's at the end of the season? I mean, if they already know what they're going to do, they can do whatever they want behind the scenes.
Here's something else to consider is when you pull the trigger on a coach, doesn't the portal open up?
I think you're right.
And you might say, who cares? There's some guys that you don't want to get poached. Are there players on Michigan State that others would come after?
100%. Yeah.
Is there? Can you name at least a few you hope the next coach has access to?
Yeah.
So if you're going to, and I don't remember the rules and if they've changed or not, I got to go look it up. But if you're going to open up the portal and expose your guys to being poached, you're already putting the next guy behind the eight ball who can come in. If you do it in a way where you could hire the next guy quickly, he can try and save any player that's worth saving. So keep that in mind for those that want the trigger pulled. In the here and the now, it might have something to do with why they're not pulling the trigger in the here and the now. My champ is Bills running back James Cook. My chump is Jonathan Smith. My champ would be Ole Miss for their big win at Oklahoma. My chump would be the Michigan-Michigan State rivalry. It doesn't even look like a rivalry. There's really no intensity. There's no juice. It looks like a normal regular season game. It has for a couple of years. I don't know what's going on, but it needs to change or stop being played.
I don't know. I thought at times it's pretty chippy on Saturday night.
I mean, look, that's the way this person interprets it. I don't know that. I would say that I agree with that interpretation, but my champ is the Red Wings. Nice game. Chump MSU. I'm sorry, but this team is a bottom feeder. Embarrassment for this universe. Okay. 248-539-9797. Devin is next. Hi, Devin.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
So I got two quick points. I want to give you my champ and chump, and I want to ask you something about our Detroit team.
Okay.
All right. My champ is Todd McClellan, obviously. If we go 5-4 instead of 6-3, I think that really hurt our beginning of our season. My chump is NFL officiating. I watched the Pittsburgh Green Bay. Micah Parsons clearly had an offside. They didn't call it, and it changed the outcome of the game. And as far as my question, out of our four teams, who do you think going to win our championship first?
For the professional teams?
Yes, because we could be the first team to have all four teams in the playoffs in American history. No team, the city has ever had that happen before.
Is that true?
I use AI to look it up. So 1985 was the closest year we could have done it, but the Lions didn't make the playoffs that year.
Used AI to look up if it's ever happened for Detroit or it's ever happened to anywhere.
Any city. Detroit will be the first city to have all four teams make the playoffs in American history.
There's one thing to consider, and that is it's only like 12, 13 cities that have all four. It's not as many as you might think, right? I mean, there's a lot of cities that don't have one of the four major sports.
Still sounds impressive.
It sounds very impressive. If I had to bet right now, I'd bet on the Lions.
I would as well.
Yep.
I think the Lions have the best chance, Devin. I think it's the best team right now. They've got a real good shot this year. I think the Red Wings are still a ways away, and the Pistons are still a ways away, and you know the Tigers missed their opportunity, and I'm not sure what team we're going to see next year, if it's a team that has Scooble or not.
I think it's going to be the Red Wings, and I'm going to tell you why. For one, we started three rookies. We got Lombardi coming up. If we can just get another goaltender, I'm saying in like 3 years. I'm saying 2028. I think the Red Wings got a pretty decent core developing here. We didn't even bring up Nate Danielson or Mazur yet. So, I mean, we get a younger, like a 29-year-old goaltender or something, or just Kosa actually wakes up. I think the Red Wings can do something in 3 years.
Wow, that is funny. Because, Devin, I feel like they would be the last on the list for most Detroiters.
Yeah, but they're the team that's won the most championships, and they're the team that won our last championship.
Is that relevant to who's going to win the next championship?
They have a young core. Okay. They have a really good young core. Well,
they do have that.
Well, the thing about a young core, and I'm not saying he's wrong, and I'm not saying I want him to be wrong. I mean, look, I like the different opinion. His young cores take a while to develop, you know?
That they do.
Does it look a little bit more promising now than it did a month ago for just the outlook of the organization? Yeah. Looks a little more promising, doesn't it?
No, it looks a lot more promising. I'm very happy with the early stage of this, but like I said last week, I really need to give it like 30 games look. And to be fair, I think everybody else is like, let's wait and see till, you know, wake me up in April 1st. Mm-hmm. And not for an April Fool's joke, but to see where the Red Wings are, because Munch.
The Munch of Marth?
Because Munch of Marth. It is the Munch. You know what? The last 3 years, we've seen the Munch of Marth.
It has been the Munch of Marth.
The month of March has been really bad for the Red Wings the last 3 years. So I don't want to get too caught up on how good this team is. And yet I'm giving it a 30-game run, and that's not going to take us to Munch. We'll see what they are, where they are at the end of March.
Uncensored.
Really sink your teeth into it.
That's as good as Rudge Escher.
It's not bad.
I think the Munch of Marth is right there with Rudge Escher. Lions need a Rudge Escher, and the Red Wings need to be better in the Munch of Marth.
Yeah, we're not going to lose Munch of Marth. That's going to be, I can already tell, that's a staple. That's right there. You're welcome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, sorry. Sometimes the mind and the mouth aren't like this.
And the brandy and the whiskey. No, none of that today.
Not today.
Feedback coming in. If the Tigers trade Scooble, they're going to miss the playoffs for the next decade. Okay. Are they? I mean, if they don't trade Scooble and lose him after next year, does that mean the same thing? They're going to miss the playoffs? Is the only way to make the playoffs through Scooble? Come on.
There's so many caveats after that, if they trade Scooble and then they don't spend money anywhere else and try to replace that in the aggregate or whatever, if this happens, I mean, there's a lot that would fall. I'm sorry. This is Scott Harris has set this team up with some of what Al Avila left, and then I sprinkling in what he has done as president of baseball operations and his drafts and their signings internationally. And they've done a nice job of replenishing this team, where I do think this is going to be a very competitive baseball team for years to come. But if they're going to move on without Tarek Skubal, the plan to move on has got to include a couple of arms. And you know, if you're talking with the Mets and Jonah Tong is one of these guys, great. Okay, he did great in the minors, not so great in the majors in a small sample size, but you got to give me more than that. You got to go into the offseason. If you trade him, then you better sign some free agents that make sense and not just be wasteful like the Alex Cobbs of the world.
It would be a very it would be PR damage if they trade Scooble for basically just prospects and then don't use the Scooble money to go get free agents. I don't think that would fly with this fan base at all.
It's not going to fly.
Wouldn't fly with me.
No.
You know, I mean, they're in the mix now. Stay in the mix. You're developing guys. Bravo. That's cool. But stay in the mix.
Love Troy Melton. I think Casey Mize is turning himself into a nice pitcher. We'll see what happens when they get other guys healthy, which is down the road. Mm-hmm. I don't know when Jackson Jobe is going to come back. And is Jackson Jobe ever going to be what you hope he was going to be?
It's Carson Anderson, 97-1, the ticket.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Doug Karsh, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Let's get back to your open line calls and Champa Chump. Let's get him in. It's the last chance to do so. My champ of the weekend was Jimmy Roller, Michigan linebacker. Gator, your champ of the weekend was Aaron Glenn.
There you go.
Yep. Thank First you. Win. My champ of the weekend was Aaron Rodgers. We root for you. You lose. Thanks a lot. Yours was?
Jonathan Smith. I just didn't like coaching decisions that he made. And this team is, they're still not there where they need to be with discipline. It's just not a, it was not a good look on Saturday night. I thought the team gave great effort. And I thought the coach and coaches let them down. The one coach in particular was a little demonstrative.
Rossi, the DC?
Yeah. Well, so you knew he was on the sideline because they kept showing him on the sideline.
Yeah, that seemed to be one of their storylines from what I understand.
And I can't deny that the defense looked inspired. I thought at times the defense looked great. They got three and outs, held Michigan to a field goal in that first drive when they were in, you know, short range there. Mm-hmm. They played well, but they just kept showing Rossi. I'm like, stop showing this guy.
You didn't want to see him?
No, because he's blowing a spaz. And after a while, it's like, all right, do you know that the cameras are on you? Is this who you really are?
Know that.
I think you can know that if you make a big enough motions with your arms and stuff. You know, cameras
are on. You draw enough attention to yourself.
Yeah.
You don't like the emotion? I mean,
I like the emotion.
Clearly,
to a
he
point.
Was like, yeah. You know, he was into it, obviously.
Well, somebody needed to be.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You have him and Jonathan Smith. Every time they showed him, he didn't look like he even knew what was going on.
It was like such a contrast. Like, my first thought was, and I know I'm ripping on him a little much, and I don't mean to on Rossi because maybe this is really who he is. And it was important for him to be there, and maybe this is the lift that the defense needs the rest of the way, is that the DC is on the sidelines to be there for the team. But there was such a disparity between the head coach and the defensive coordinator in what they were emoting. And not that I need the head coach to be some kind of, you know, raving lunatic on the sideline, but it I don't know. It looked like one guy was coaching for his life and the other guy was just going through it.
Coaching lifeless.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. Steve in Oxford, you're on 97 on the Ticket. Hi, Steve.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Good afternoon.
What's up?
I want to chime in about Scooble. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of people that want to keep him and make a run at it one more year, but, you know, his value is never going to be as high as it is right now. You're one arm tweak away from losing all value. And, you know, for one guy for $400 to $500 million, not worth it. Give me the haul, and we can get another pitcher, and you know, it'll be way better long run.
Well, it could be. It could be way better long run. But you know, Steve, I don't think they have to trade him. I think they need to. I think they have to explore trading him, if that makes sense. I think they absolutely have to.
Yeah, it does. But I think that, you know, look what happened to Verlander. We waited and waited and waited. You got to the deadline, and you got absolutely nothing for him because you were forced into having to trade for him at that point, and the teams took advantage of it.
Yep. And unfortunately, it happened with several players that were in the same situation. J.D. Martinez and Upton were all in the same situation where they're free agents at the end of the year. You had to move them or lose them for nothing, and that's what could happen this year. And this is a team that has made the playoffs the last 2 years. You would think that they're on schedule to continue to make the playoffs again this upcoming season with Skubal, and you have to make that decision.
One of Avila's great downfalls was not spinning his purges into anything of great value, right? I mean, he appears to have drafted pretty well, but not being able to spin those players that they dealt into anything of great value certainly is part of the reason why it didn't work here. We don't know what Harris is going to do. We have no tracker record with him, how he handles this situation. And Harrison, I guess it's a Harris and Chris Illich thing, how they handle this situation is a big, big definer of what's going to happen under Harris and Illich's ownership, for that matter.
Yeah, I would imagine the Tigers would make a fairly competitive offer for Tarek Skubal to hang on to him. What I'm not sure about is whether or not it's Skubal and his camp are interested in hearing any offer until free agency. And if that's the plan, if Scott Boras's plan for Tarek Skubal, and Tarek Skubal accepts this plan, is to not sign anything, not to listen to anything until we get to free agency. If your whole goal is to get to free agency, then you probably have to trade him. Yes, you could take the chance on hanging on to him next year and making your additions in free agency and trades and hope that you can win a World Series with Tarek Skubal, and then if you lose him at the end of the season after the World Series, okay. But you'll take it because it's the World Series. But that's it. Otherwise, it's a waste.
To correct a previous caller, the Birchie kid heard the guy that called and said they could become the first team in sports history to have all four of their teams make the playoffs. Birchie said, I hate Boston sports, but they've dominated the last two decades. They've done it like 10 times since the turn of the century. And then he said, it is true. It would be the first time Detroit has done it. But.
Yeah, but AI.
You tried it with AI.
Yeah, this is a data point I had not heard yet. And so apparently it's not true. Kyle in Detroit, you're next. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, all right. Thank you.
Good. So on Skubal, I mean, well, first off, let's talk about the last caller, two callers. Who do you guys think is the next Detroit team to win a championship?
Lions.
100%.
I mean, that's what
I think they have a chance to win it this year. So
who do you think it is?
I think the Pistons, honestly. I really do. I don't think the Lions. It's just historically, you know, I know, like, this guy was talking about the Red Wings 20 years ago. What is now is not what was then. But, like, I really don't think the Lions have it. I really don't.
You don't think they're good this year? Good enough?
Well, I can't argue with, I don't think so, I really don't.
I mean, Kyle, you don't think they have a chance to win a Super Bowl this year?
I think the Pistons have a better chance.
You think the Pistons have a better chance of winning the NBA championship than the Lions do of winning the Super Bowl this year?
I do.
Why?
100%. Why?
Yeah.
Because we have young talent. We have a great point guard. We have a really good center, which centers are not meant to play down low anymore. He can exploit a lot of centers. Like, I mean, Boston doesn't have a center, but obviously, you know, we have a good center, a good point guard. I'm not sure what's going on with the rest of the team.
I guess I was going to say, what about the Lions? Why is it you don't think the Lions can contend for a Super Bowl?
Because there's like five other teams that are way better.
Who? Who's way better?
In which division?
Who's way better? You said five teams. Who's way better than the Lions?
I would say, all right, if I had to pick it, I would say Green Bay is better. I would honestly say that. I would say it's a tough choice. The Ravens worry about her if they
could get, well, except the Lions beat the hell out of the Ravens, but sure, go ahead.
If they could get back to where they were. I think the Buccaneers are
Lions beat the Buccaneers. What else you got?
Yes. It doesn't matter what happens here, you know, right now. Like I said,
right. Yeah, because why would you think what happens now matters for this season?
Well, because there's injuries. Like it's football. It's football. Right. And the same thing with Scooble. He's about to be 29. Not to change subjects, but Scooble is 29. Pitchers are 2 to 3. Starting pitchers are 2 to 3 years max.
All right. Thanks.
I don't want to argue against the Pistons.
I don't start either, with this. But, I mean,
I think the Pistons, if he said, here's why I like the Pistons, and then gave us, I was interested in why he didn't like the Lions, and he just didn't really have any reason other than I don't think they're going to. I really don't. Then he said there are 5 teams that are way better and proceeded to name 2 teams the Lions have already defeated. And I don't want to argue against the Pistons. The Lions are 7-1 to win the Super Bowl. The Pistons are 35-1 to win the NBA title. And I like our Pistons. But, you know, I think that's just a guy that probably at his core, same old Lions, is what he thinks we're still watching.
I mean, if the argument is, yeah, well, injuries. Okay, are the Lions dealing with injuries?
Yeah.
And they're still
is he saying that they're going to get more injured? I don't know. I mean,
they're still winning games. Well, and by the way, good news. I don't know if we've mentioned on the show yet, maybe in the updates, but Malcolm Rodriguez is coming back to practice this week.
Yeah, the forgotten Malcolm Rodriguez.
So they start his clock when he can get back to the active roster. It's good news.
Well, the feedback's on that guy is I can't tell if that guy was 20 or 7. Let's go to Ken next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Ken.
Hi.
Hey.
How's it going?
All right, Ken.
All right. Anyway, I just wanted to mention to you, I've been a Lions fan, a Tigers fan, Pistons fan for all my life.
All right.
But I got to tell you, this is the deal. The fact with Scooble is, if Rodney Green hits 100 home runs, he'll knock in 105 runs, it feels like. Okay, because he doesn't knock anybody in, and it's not just him, it's all the Tigers. Here you had a team that went 15 innings and scored 2 runs. How do you do that? You had the second, third, and fourth batter in the lineup go 0-for-21 or some ungodly thing like that.
The other
like
team
that.
Score 3 runs in the 15 innings? Actually, there were 2 in the 14.
Well, that doesn't justify the 2 runs.
Well, I will say this, Ken. If you're citing a terrible game for hitters 2 through 5, then you're gonna find nothing good. And he had 36 home runs for 111 RBIs.
Let me just tell you this though, and the fact is that what I'm saying is, if you get yourself a hitter that hits singles, okay, and can still knock in runs, I think that would help Scooble.
I don't disagree.
That's a valid point.
You know, I want to go on. I want to get. You know, my guy from the Cubs now, who's Kyle Tucker,
right,
who's former Astro.
What I'm saying, I think so that kind of money for this guy, if you spend it by trading for some hitters instead of these guys that the only thing they do is hit home runs and don't score any runs.
Well, I would say this, Ken. Those guys are on the way because guys like Kevin McGonigal or Max Anderson are guys that don't strike out high totals and they walk a lot and they do hit base hits a lot. Those guys are on the way, as early as 2026, next season here.
So that's gonna
help. But the problem is, if Tarek Skubal, if he's hell bent on getting to free agency, then I think that we can all be resigned to the fact that the Tigers aren't going to be able to re-sign him because every other team with the deep pockets is going to go even deeper, and that's where he's going to go. That's the big question in the offseason.
I agree with you.
They have to answer that question. Tarek, are you going to accept our offer now? Or are you hell-bent on getting to free agency? And if it's hell-bent, then they have to do the real deep thought and, okay, do we move him or do we try to win a World Series this last year that we have him?
I get it. Okay, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, because he's going to get paid $20 million next year because of arbitration.
Thank you for the phone call, 248-539-9797.
Which, by the way, is something else that's not insignificant to think about.
What's that?
If you trade him, you don't have to pay him the $20 million it's arbitration, which is one of your points, is that's why you, but you have to spend that money. And you're going to have to spend a lot more than that.
Any scenario in which they trade Scoobal this offseason to be satisfying enough has to either A, look like a Herschel Walker return where we go, oh my God.
Yeah.
Or B, be a reasonable, like people in baseball go, that's actually a pretty good return. It doesn't have to be Herschel Walker, but then that $20 million has to be allocated towards a top-notch signee. And because the point, I can see wanting to solidify your future, adding a major league ready player in a Scoobal trade, but I can't see that being the cornerstone of their additions. I would really like them to spend that money. I thought they were going to do it last offseason. They didn't. So I'm not quite as confident and chesty about the offseason. They almost did. They definitely tried. The funny thing is I didn't even want that player signed for that contract.
And, like and look who's back again.
Yep. And that's one of the reasons why is I just
his agent.
And his agent happens to be the same damn agent.
Damn fool.
Steven in Kalamazoo, you're next. What's up, Steven?
Hey, how we doing, boys?
All right, Steven.
So I just want to kind of throw this out there, see what you guys were thinking regarding Pistons. So, you know, obviously we got Cade Cunningham and Jaden Ivey will be coming back soon. What are your guys' thoughts on, you know, a potential Jaden Ivey, Cade Cunningham, Asar, Tobias, Duren starting five? Do you think that works based off of those players' skill set in a starting five? So, and if so, like, what's your opinion?
Well, hold on. So basically, you're adding Ivy back into the mix, and you're taking out Duncan Robinson, which is what's happened.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Well, first, let's start with how do you feel about it?
So this is my opinion. I love Asar. I love JD. I think JD is I think his ceiling is limited, though. I think I would imagine the Pistons will go Ivy, Cade, Asar, Tobias, Duren, and so I think it'll be tough to have all five of those guys on the floor at the same time, especially with Asar. I think he's putting a lot of improvements. He's been dribbling to the cup a little bit more, shooting those pull-up mid-ranges. But I don't know about spacing for Cade, right? So you got Malik, you had Tim Hardaway, all those guys last year could space the floor. And I know it's a small sample size with Ivy shooting well last year from three, but I think you might have to make a move regarding maybe Duren and put maybe Asar at like a four, and you do like a salary dump with Tobias and Duren as your prospect and maybe a first round pick for some forwards.
So Steven, it's interesting. I really do want to see that five on the floor together.
Yeah.
I think that has potential to be great. I also am not going to dismiss that when they were healthy last year, when Ivy got hurt, they got better. And you know, it doesn't stand to reason with me that while they got better because he was hurt. I don't know that I'm not saying I believe that, but we have to be open to the idea that you might be onto something as far as those five on the floor together might not be it.
Well, we were not going to see Jaden Ivey until likely December.
Yeah.
On the floor.
I don't
love
that either.
Yeah, I don't love that.
And I'm not sure right now. Well,
but I do recognize it, the handful of games they played leading up to his injury, they were playing pretty well offensively, and I think they'd won like four out of five games leading up to that point. But there's no question that they started to take off right around that time, and it coincides with his injury. I just think it is coincidental. I don't think it's because of it. I think it's coincidental.
I agree. I keep an open mind to all things. Did I just make it sound like look like I'm crazy?
Yeah,
I
was
like
spinning. Yeah, you are local.
I live on the edge. I'm dangerous.
Is that you?
Yeah. No, I'm open-minded to all things. And they have to make a decision on whether or not they think this core can get it done. It's a fascinating young core. It is a fascinating young core.
Yeah. Right?
And Asar Thompson
is off to a great start.
Two games over the weekend was a big part of them winning games. And
Ron Holland had the great first game with 19 points the first game, and then Asar's come on the last couple games. Yep. And Cade's been steady. Jalen Duren had 24 and 17 last night. Mm-hmm. And they've had an impressive start, but it's three games.
It is three games.
Wait and see.
Give it some time.
We got here.
But over the weekend, you know, Duncan Robinson shot it better than he did in the opener.
Well, when you don't make shots in the opener.
No, that, I guess you couldn't do much worse.
But he was pretty good in game two.
But I'm not sure JD is the guy I'd be shipping out, as the caller suggested.
No. So. I like Jalen Duren.
Yeah. I feel like between Duren and Thompson, we have two great athletes that could be unstoppable.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to give it some put a few more birthdays on those guys.
Those are guys that are willing to play defense, which you like the players that are willing to play defense. And then you start looking at some of the other players in the team, and I wish that Isaiah Stewart was maybe 3 inches taller.
Mm-hmm.
But I like how his effort, maybe keeping the guys on the floor would be good. No technical fouls, no flagrants.
I've got a question here from a listener on YouTube. Kang, I want to see. The person on YouTube asked the question, did Gator dye his hair? And
you pulling a Ryan Day dyeing beard thing? I know you don't have a beard. You can't dye that. So
no, and there's definitely, you can definitely see great. Does it look like I got a cut on Saturday?
Yeah, no, it doesn't look like you dyed your hair.
I didn't notice it.
I have no desire to.
I'm sorry I didn't notice your hair cut either.
No, it's okay.
Yep. He doesn't take that personally.
I do not.
No.
One gender does.
Oh, do they?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You better notice, Doug.
Yeah, he's right. He's just saying the truth.
I don't know.
He's kind of onto something.
Did you clean the house? Did you take out the garbage?
Smack. We welcome Enrico Beard, who has made his way in studio. Hello, sir. How are you today?
Gentlemen, long time no see.
Yes.
I got to see a maestro at work.
Well, it was Saturday nice to see you Saturday, Enrico.
Got to see Doug in his glory, doing his thing. Dressed very Natalie clad.
Well,
yeah, I didn't know how Natalie clad until Natalie dressed you were until the last break when I was talking to Rico.
Yeah.
Oh, did he mention who I look like?
Well, there was who you looked like, yeah, and then described it for. Was there a vest involved?
No.
I liked the look. He had a puffy vest that I guess.
Well, Jansen, it wasn't a vest. It was a full on
jacket.
Yeah, it was a jacket.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Jansen wasn't a big fan of the jacket. Obviously.
He wasn't?
No.
Okay.
It was a puffy jacket?
Well, it had, I mean, I'll wear it to work someday and you can judge for yourself. The funny thing is, you know what my wife calls that? She calls it a sweater. And it has like sweater like material in the sleeves and it's kind of puffy.
See, that's why I thought it was a vest. And I just thought that, okay, never mind. But yeah, he looked like Harry Potter.
If I tell you, well, I had the glasses on because of, you know, nighttime, I'll throw the glasses on. And press boxes are now like,
see like an eagle.
Press boxes are now like at 35,000 feet above field level. And so you can struggle sometimes. I have a new, like the TV guys have it so easy because all of their booths, just about all of them are down way lower.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, and a lot of stadiums, the TV booth, not all of them, but they're way lower. How I think hard, that's the case at Michigan State.
How hard was it to say? And they drop back to punt, and they drop back to punt, and they drop back to punt.
Well, this is true. I know that at Ford Field, for instance, the radio broadcast and the press box is on level 7, and I think the TV is on level 4, maybe?
Yeah, and Spartan Stadium, I'm pretty sure. Now, in the big house, same level. The TV booth, we can always see the TV crew right next to us. And I will tell you a funny little anecdote.
Oh, here we go.
There are some people from the Big Ten Network that John Jansen worked for, and they always put signs on the glass ripping on Jansen, and he can't get to them because it's the other side of the glass.
So
yeah. I'll look over, and it'll say, John Jansen likes wine spritzers and stuff like that. It's always some sort of, kind of funny, but.
John Jansen likes vegetables.
Yeah, which we know is not true.
No,
yeah,
not even.
Unless they have cheese on them.
Well, that's
lots of cheese. Real quick, what do you guys got coming up next?
Oh, rehash the game.
All right, there you go. Stay safe, everyone, and treat each other with respect. 97.1.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Your fantasy season doesn't end after your draft. The Fantasy Football Today podcast is going to get you through the season and to a championship. Fantasy Football Today, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network, has episodes every single day. Waiver wire, trade talk, starter sit, mailbags, and more. If you want to win your league, you need to listen to Fantasy Football Today. Follow and listen to Fantasy Football Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.